Yeah, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where it's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Okay, that's our cue. When the CD player fails, that's our cue to go on mic.
And that's something we always follow here, follow the failures.
I'm going to, okay, well, you follow me, so what does that mean? Thank you so much. So I have the CD player. Oh, there it goes. See, it's just going to keep going whenever it feels like it. And I'm not gonna tell it to stop. No, let it just keep going. And when it wants to take a breath or have a burst
of
sort of
serendipitous. And not too unlike some of the situations we have here at WUSB.
We have many serendipitous. That's a $20 word, isn't it? Serendipitous. I can't even say the word.
I certainly can't spell it, so don't ask.
All right, you know what? As long as we're talking about words, you ever watch Star Trek? The Next Generation? Good, okay. Because, you know, I always wind up having these conversations with people where I ask something obvious. Like, you know, you ever see the moon and I find the one person that hasn't? And I can't continue with the point I was trying to make. So, okay, great. You've seen Star Trek, The Next Generation. You ever see those incidents on the bridge? Many of them. But somebody says something and then Riker, like, basically tells them, delay that order. And you ever hear that phrase?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. You ever wonder what it means?
Delay that order?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means that for years I haven't understood that that word. It's a word I have not known. And the only reason, the only reason that I figured out that it was actually a different word was by watching Twilight Zone, where they pronounce it a little bit better, and I discovered that there's actually a word called belay, with a B, not a D. He's saying belay that order, not delay that order. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I found somebody, because everybody else I've told this to has said, oh, yeah, of course, belay. We all know that word, belay.
Well, see,
use it all the time.
I'm not as pretentious as some of your other friends.
Yeah, they are pretentious, aren't
they? They are.
Pretentious little, well, never mind. But the point is, they have these two words, delay, which means postpone, and belay, which means don't do at all. You'd think maybe those two words might get a little confusing, especially when you're shouting across Navy ships and things like that, of which I understand there are still a few. You know, they sound very, very similar.
And very often when those things are said, it's an imperative.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say belay as B as in boy, belay.
Right, right. You can't say captain or number one or whatever. Did you say belay or delay? Which was it? You know, I'm not sure.
Right.
Meanwhile, you're being fired upon. No, it's a bad choice. I did not know. And you know, I'm so happy that you don't know that word. I could just be making this up right now, and you would totally be believing me, right?
That's correct.
That there's no such word as belay, and I just am totally concocting this. But
and
there actually
probably are.
No, I'm not. There actually is a word called belay, and you know when I'll prove it to you. When I go to Google, and that's how you solve any issue these days.
It's
you,
all true on the internet.
You go to Google.
That's right.
And oh, look at that Gmail. I was. I guess I could mention this too. People always leave their Facebook pages logged in here at the radio station. And you can... Well, I don't think it's... I don't think if it's left logged in... In fact, I believe this was tested in a case in New Jersey. If somebody leaves their page logged in, it's perfectly okay to peruse it and see various things. Especially if it's you know, semi-public type things anyway. But, you know, it's not cool to post things in their name. But, boy, I can't believe how many people do that. Leave that... I see all kinds of things we're not supposed to see.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are kind of taking a quick gander at it now before you go to Google.
Yeah, let me get back to Google. What was I going to do?
Belay.
Oh, yeah, so I'm going to type delay that order, and look what happens when I type delay that order. What's the first thing that it suggests underneath it? Can you read that, Finn?
I can.
Yeah. And you want to tell the folks what it is?
Sure, I can swear to the fact that it says belay.
It says belay, and that's when I realized that...
And I'm emphasizing the B.
Occasionally I come across something where I've been laboring under a misassumption my entire life, and, you know, I feel like an idiot, but I have no problem admitting that I'm an idiot sometimes. Yeah, so I thought it was delay, and it's actually belay, and everyone except you and I seem to know that.
And when did you find this out?
Well, I was, another interesting story. I've been watching old Twilight Zones.
Right. As I do, too, as well.
They have the best DVD box set. I mean, usually I'm very critical of these things, but they have taken a lot of effort in reproducing the entire series as it aired. They have coming attractions, they have little PSAs and the old CBS logo and things like that, and they restored every single episode in its entirety. They have lots of extra features and things like that. And you know, I've found some episodes that have not been in syndication. For instance, there was one called The Encounter, which has George Takei in it, from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that one.
And, well, that was not in syndication, because that's a racially charged one that they pulled from syndication because so many people were complaining about it, and it has not been seen, I don't think, since. Certainly not shown on that that New Year's Eve marathon. They don't show that one.
No.
So, you know, I learned about that. They have the hour-long episodes. Season 4 was an hour long because they just decided to do that. And those have never been in syndication. So there are quite a few good ones in there as well. But there's another one called Occurrence at Arrow Creek Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a French film that actually was brought in from the outside. Had nothing to do with the Twilight Zone writers. They just brought in this foreign film, a film short, And it was Twilight Zone-y enough for it to work, but it's completely different than how the series usually plays out.
Right.
Sterling
was an incredibly amazing, bright, flexible guy with storylines and how things turned out.
He was a genius. He was ahead of his time, unfortunately, as a heavy smoker, and that wound up killing him.
That's correct.
In fact, it's really interesting to see all the cigarette allusions in the series. Because the sponsors at that time, they were as evil as they are today. They were forcing people within the program to light up cigarettes constantly to get you to want to light up a cigarette yourself or to at least consider the possibility of doing such. They basically, you saw cigarette cartons in the end credits and things like that. They were always exerting that pressure to do that.
Of course, Sterling himself didn't need his arm twisted too much to do the same.
That's true. What I do is I go through every episode, and I look up the episode on Wikipedia, and you can go to the next episode just by hitting a single button. And I always like to click on the actors' names and find out what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them are still alive. Some of them are, you know, 95 years old. A lot of them lived to a good ripe old age, but so many of them died at age 50 or in their 40s from lung cancer or heart attacks, things that are brought on, obviously, by smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. There are a few self-inflicted gunshot wounds, too. It's interesting to see one person was killed by a bull. That was the most interesting death so far. It gets a little depressing when you're clicking on all these things, and everybody, of course, has passed away. I just found out Alan Seuss died.
Yes.
He was from Laugh-In. He was in an episode. He was in one episode of The Twilight Zone, the masks, the one where everyone has to wear a mask, and then when they take off the mask later, they find out that their faces now look like the mask, and boy, that was pretty scary.
Which wasn't too different from Alan Seuss's actual face.
Well, it sort of fit. It was a good transition,
yes.
I'll say that. And he was definitely kind of a funny character in that as well.
Yes.
So anyway, the episode had Belay That Order, this was... This had to do with this guy who had lost his mind and basically thought he was on a ship when he was actually in his house. And he ran a miniature ship company, and he kept telling his wife to belay something. And I was like, why is he saying belay? And then I actually looked up the word, and that's when the whole house of cards started to fall apart for me. And I realized that I had been
laboring under delusion.
Exactly. Like, you know, years ago... I thought the phrase was for all intensive purposes, intensive purposes,
oh, okay.
Not intense and purposes. And there were all kinds of things like that where people get it wrong. You know, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's sad, but we should always be honest about it.
That's right. I agree.
We're all human, you know?
And I'm very proud to have admitted here on the air on your program that I did not know the meaning of the word belay.
And I'm happy to have exposed that fact.
And I, you know, I will live with that scar for the rest of my life.
And it's all on tape and on the internet, so it's
it
forever.
Right.
But boy, I was pretty shocked by that. But I'm glad. I feel good that I'm not the only person. Why was I bringing that up in the first place? Was there a reason behind that?
I don't know. Did it have to do with Facebook?
No, I started way back talking about something. It was the first thing we talked. We went to a few diversions since then, but I thought it was a different point. Well, I don't know. We were talking about the CD player quitting. Which, by the way, the theme ended now.
Belayed the music.
It almost belayed the music, but in fact, it just delayed the music. Didn't
that's,
belay it.
That's
it
delayed it, yes.
What a stupid word. There are so many stupid words out there. There really are.
There are.
Oh, you know, that serendipitous. That's how it started, because you said that word, and I said that's a $20 word, and that led me to say this other word that I had just learned.
Very good.
And it's cool that at my age, I can still be learning words.
You know what else is cool is the fact that we can even be talking about this on the radio. Maybe it's not as cool as we think it is, but it's
well,
pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's good that we have a forum, and we can open up the microphones, and when they turn on and actually work, we're able to share things with our listeners. It's magic. It really is.
It is.
I talk about this every week with people to one degree or another. Now, I don't have run into strangers in Oklahoma City that ask me questions like presidential candidates always seem to do. How do they do that? You know, you ever notice at the debates, they always say, I had a woman in Omaha say to me, I've been out of work now for 45 years. You know, When do they, someone was tugging on my arm, when do you get to tug on Obama's arm? How does that work? How do you do that? How do you do it without getting shot by the Secret Service? Tell me.
Well, I think it's also because those, very often those things can't be corroborated. So, you know.
I know, of course not. There's no verification of that.
That's right. In a diner one day, somebody tugged on my arm and asked me a question.
They do go to diners, but then
they
again,
do a lot of that.
They give people questions to ask, so I guess that could have happened. That reminds me of, the question, someone wrote this. I don't often quote Twitter. But this was really pretty funny because the Long Island debate a week ago in mm-hmm. Hofstra, somebody was saying on Twitter to the audience members, why don't you just read the why don't you say the question out loud instead of reading it like a hostage note?
Right.
You know? Like you're a hostage reading some kind of demand from your takers. And yeah, you know, it's a simple enough question. It's your question, supposedly, so why do you have to read it off a card? I couldn't understand that.
Well, I think people are probably, even though most didn't seem to be so, on the clips that I saw of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I want to say that the only way I've seen these clips is by chance. I've actually not watched one debate.
You see, now this is, okay, this is a perfect example of what I was talking about before,
exactly.
Where I asked somebody if they've seen the moon and they haven't. I was going to say, so you've seen the debates, let's talk about the debates, and I have the one person here who has not seen the debates.
That's
great.
Correct.
Wonderful. So
I've successfully avoided them.
You have no idea.
Well,
what,
I have an idea.
What horses and bayonets.
Well, I do read the articles after the fact, but I can't actually watch the debates.
You do realize it takes about the same amount of time to watch the debates as it does to read the articles.
But it's more painless than watching the debates.
Less painful.
As well.
What do you consider most painful about watching the debates? We can start there.
Oh, certainly. I would say that the candidates themselves.
Okay, yes.
I don't want to see the candidates.
Well, you're going to see them because they're going to be on the news every day.
Well, probably only have to wind up seeing one of them after a certain period of time.
Yeah. I sympathize, but I also realize that, you know, much as I would like somebody else to be in charge, doing things in a completely different way, it's not going to happen. There's no way, so I can't close my eyes to the fact that one of these people is going to be driving the ship or the bus or whatever it is. And making decisions, and I'm interested in what kind of decisions they're going to be making or how they present themselves or what they claim to have done in the past. I'm not going to like most of what they do in all likelihood.
I'm also very, very interested, as you well know, but it's more I can't watch them say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much of a painful experience for me. I do read about it.
Maybe I just like pain because there's so many things in life
and it's apparently
that
many
I tolerate. Yeah. I mean, you know, I tolerate so much that I feel is just substandard and plastic and nonsensical,
right.
Whether it's driving in my car or talking to people or mass entertainment or organized sports or anything like that.
I also find it, well, you just mentioned
by the way, did you see the game last night?
No.
The game was up against the debate, so it was a tough choice as to what not to watch. I imagine you made that choice pretty easily.
No, I didn't watch either.
Exactly. But at the very end of the game, San Francisco versus St. Louis, in San Francisco, it was pouring rain, coming down like you wouldn't believe it. But they wouldn't stop the game because the Giants were ahead 9-0, and it was the top of the ninth inning, and they had two outs and two strikes, and they couldn't stop the game there because they wanted that last out, obviously.
And it was a point to end the game,
of course,
right?
Yeah. But if they had ended the game, obviously San Francisco would have won anyway, but it wouldn't have felt clean.
Right, exactly.
But the field was getting destroyed.
And very clean.
Mm-hmm.
but back to the sports metaphor right there, that's the problem I actually have with the debates, is the fact that it's like rock 'em, sock 'em, robots, and who scores the most. And that's, to me, not really what being a president should be about. And it's kind of an anathema thing for me. I'm kind of repulsed by the entire.
Well, I mean, you know, sports, I think, is a good parallel here because organized sports is really stupid in my eyes. I honestly can't stand the mentality, but I am fascinated by the system.
Yes, sure.
And also by the just the event sometimes, just by sharing a particular occurrence. Like all those people, tens of thousands of people yesterday in San Francisco, outside in the pouring rain and not leaving.
Right.
That is something, I mean, yeah, okay, we can say organized sports are dumb and it's just mass entertainment and overpaid athletes and things like that. But also, this is history, and it's something that if I was there, I'd be having fun. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, of course not.
I think too many people just think too much about things and say, I can't have fun here because I don't believe in this and this and this. And if you live your life that way, you're just going to be miserable most of the time because it doesn't work out most of the time.
And I agree with that 100%. It just doesn't happen to be my specific interest. Yeah. But I have nothing against it.
What is your specific interest? I've been meaning to ask.
I can't tell you that. You have to listen at
You have an agenda, and it's not just attacking Romney. I know
you
that.
Have to listen at 7 p.m. That's my agenda.
Oh, is that the new name of your show? My Agenda?
That's right. I don't know. It's the even with the debates now, you know, with the last few years we've been down, the last few elections, we've been down to two candidates in the debate.
When have we ever? Well, actually, we did have three at some point.
We've
right?
had a few times when there were three, especially when the League of Women Voters are running the debates. And
yes.
Now the whatever the committee for presidential debates.
It's the committee to keep everybody else out of the debates.
Bingo, because it's run strictly by Republicans and Democrats, and that's hey, whatever. But
so how do we change it? How do we ever change that?
Well, it gets more and more difficult to change. A, it's in the interest of the two parties to maintain it. But B, it's something the public actually likes because it comes down to that sports metaphor again of one team versus another team. Three teams is confusing.
Have they tried that? Have they tried having three teams play a single game?
I don't know, but I think they should.
Because at least they tried having a third candidate in the debates, but I don't think they've ever tried having the Yankees versus San Francisco versus St. Louis all at the same time.
I mean, I remember, you had issues over the years with Ross Perot in the debates. Back when you and I were probably voting in our first presidential elections, John Anderson was in the debates.
McKinley, wasn't it?
And the fact is he got many, many votes because of that, and it actually shifted the directions of the debates, whereas now the directions really aren't shifted. It's all safe ground, and there are rules, and a third party in there is a mixer, at worst.
I like to mix things up a bit and to have the actual issues come out. I mean, did they talk about global warming at all yesterday? That's a big issue.
No, not from what I've read about it.
Did they talk about, I'm sick of the Palestinian issue. We all are, but they didn't really talk about that. All they basically did was say how much they liked Israel more than the other guy.
Right.
Kind of tired of that, but I understand that they can't say anything else because if they do, they will lose.
Correct.
And that's really on us, I think, that we're so shallow that we look for things like that. People are saying now that, Obama needed to attack, but he attacked too much now. He was too mean. It's like, come on, right? Why are we so particular? Listen to what people say. Is it backed up by facts?
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe that this person is going to do what he says, even if you don't believe in that? Maybe he knows something you don't. It's entirely possible. I don't know. I do trust Obama more than I trust, Bush and certainly Romney. It doesn't mean that he's like my number one person in the world to be running things, but I do feel better with him at the helm than a lot of other people.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't trust either of them. I don't trust any of them. So,
But can you think of anybody who would be a good president that we could trust? I mean, people have said, what's his name again? The guy from Ohio, Kucinich, yes. Was the only one I held my hand.
It's a height reference.
I the height
you guys
reference.
Can't quite see this on the radio.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but that's the way to communicate that. It meant someone who's not very tall, but you got it right away.
You could have done the opposite. You could have said the man who's married to the woman who's really, and held your hand way up there.
I didn't know he was married at all.
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth Kucinich. Yeah.
Is she very tall?
It's all relative.
Okay. The point is, people say he would be a good president.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think if he was in that position, he'd be doing a lot of the same things. People were saying, oh, look, he sold out. I just think when you get into that Oval Office, you wind up faced with some choices and things that you don't have choices on.
Which is very much the case, I think. But as we already have a track record on certain people, plus Kucinich has admitted to seeing UFOs, and I think that's a plus,
Okay, yeah. Was that part of his platform?
It should be, I think. It's a more universal platform.
That would have been a good question at the Long Island debate last week. Do you believe in UFOs?
Do you believe in ghosts? Any of those kind of questions are good.
Why not? Why is it so strictly regulated? Why not have them stay all night? Until somebody says, I'm really tired, I got to go home now.
That's right.
What would be wrong with that? I mean, people would actually feel like their issues were addressed at some point.
That's right.
So we had the debate last week in Long Island. We had the debate last night in Florida,
mm-hmm.
in Boca Raton. I thought that one was pretty interesting. I'm not sure how much you read about it, but...
quite a bit today, yes.
That's
what I do in my office all day.
You read the news?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Shh, don't say anything.
You're an air traffic controller. I mean, for God's sake, you should be...
Well, you know, pretty much most things run themselves.
I didn't mean to let that get out, but... Yeah. I also didn't mean to log out of Facebook, which unfortunately I did while I was talking to you, and now we don't have access to that anymore. Oh, well. Yes. Oh, I'm on the Starbucks page, though. I was just looking up, because I went down the hall, and I was almost late because
you're
of that.
A Starbucks regular now, I understand.
Well, I go down there because it does, you know, wake me up a little bit. And I just cannot believe how many people wait online. I really can't. And I don't like waiting online 20 minutes just to get a cup of coffee or something like that. But what really annoys me more than anything else is, I don't think anybody else is bothered by this. What do they call the large size?
The grande? I don't know. What do they call
it? Yeah, you're right. Well, grande is one of them. Yeah, large. But there's venti, which is... bigger than large, and then there's Tronto, which is even bigger than that.
Tronto.
Okay, there's demi, short. Well, demi, short, tall. Well, I think short and tall.
The percentage coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Demi is smallest size at espresso shots. Short is the smaller of the two original sizes. Tall is the larger of the two original sizes. So I guess maybe those don't count anymore. Then grande is Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, French for large. Venti is Italian for 20, and Trenta is Italian for 30. Now, okay, everybody dutifully says these things when they're ordering, and I'm like, why do you say that? You don't speak Italian, you don't speak whatever language this is, but just because Starbucks puts it up on a sign and says, we're cool, we talk like this, you're going to go along with it. I go over there and I say, I want it large. Or
I do the same.
Yeah, and, you know, they look at me like I'm some kind of jerk.
Right.
But come on. It's not this whole, like, you know, I'm in America, I'm speaking English thing. No, it's not that at all. It's just I'm not playing this silly game. Like, I was in, what's that cult that runs an ice cream store? Cold Stone Creamery. It's a cult, and I can tell you why. Because if you drop money into their dish, they start chanting. There's like they do some kind of song thing. At least a couple of years ago when I went there, it's kind of spooky actually. New York City, it's not so bad because they rap, but in other parts, like I was in Ohio and I did this, and it was spooky. In that particular case, they have a way of phrasing things. Like they won't ask what you want; they ask what you crave. Would you crave this? I'm not speaking like this. Please don't, you know, there's a hamburger shop that asks if you want it in the house or on the road.
Right, right, right.
And I say to go. Let's grow up and act like human beings.
In a bag to go. Right, I hear you.
I just, you know, and you know, I don't get why people just go along with it. People go along with too many things. Intelligent people who should know better. You know, people who should not use Gmail because they read all your mail. And they do. They might not be people sitting around reading it, but there's computers, and they give you advertising based on if you start typing in your email things about Al-Qaeda, you'll get terrorist-like related advertising. You do. Try it. And all kinds of things. They're reading your mail, and that bugs me. And it's being stored someplace, and you don't have control over it.
That's correct.
And, you know, we had a big, I don't want to get into details here, but we had a big Facebook problem here at the station where one of our staffers was kicked off of Facebook because of something he did or didn't do.
And he didn't even know what it was.
And he couldn't find out, and he lost access to everything. Couldn't talk to people, couldn't plan things, couldn't meet people. And the problem with that is, you know, they have the power, they have the control, and you give it to them. And not only that, you give them all your private information, too, so other people can find out things that they really shouldn't know.
I have a friend of mine who was just whose Kindle account was just shut down and canceled, and all of her books were wiped out.
Wow.
Because technically, and this is something I personally was unaware of, when you buy something, you know, we're naming products here, but when you buy something for that particular service, mm-hmm. you're not really buying it. It's the fine print, you're leasing it. And they can remove all of that content... is anytime they view a violation. She was asked what happened, you know, she asked what happened to all my books, why am I, they said, your account is associated with another account, and she has no other accounts with this company.
Mm-hmm.
Your account is associated with another account that has broken our regulations.
Weird.
Yes. So she has tons of inquiries in, and she keeps getting the same response. So it's the same thing.
That's now.
You're too involved in your personal life.
Full disclosure, I work with Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
Our magazine, in fact, is way up there. We're like number 10. We're ahead of Fortune. And
you could be the cause of the problem.
Well, we can also be the cause of the solution because our readers are constantly writing into us saying, okay, this is a problem we're having with Kindle. It's a good thing about Kindle, bad thing about Kindle. And we're able to talk to them and get them to change things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we have over 10,000 people that are you know, basically voting with their money.
Mm-hmm.
And it represents a sizable force. And we're also the biggest non-commercial magazine, meaning no advertising,
right,
on there. We're pushing for non-DRM,
right,
digital rights management. We believe people should be able to copy and save things to whatever device they want. And people want that. People support that. With their money, they support that. And I think when a lot of people voice that, it means something, rather,
yes,
than people who aren't customers. When people who are customers are saying that, that means something. So basically, that's the kind of thing that I'd be fighting for. People who lose access, they should not be losing access. And that's, I know there was a problem with Kindles towards the beginning, or at least maybe a year or so ago, where after a certain amount of time, you'd lose issues. For instance, you can only store 3 issues of something, and
right,
then it would get erased.
Sense.
And obviously that doesn't work for us. We're a quarterly magazine. We want people to be able to keep them. And now I understand that they are all kept.
Mm-hmm.
So that change happened. So it's kept in an archive folder now. So
does
you
that
can
have something to do with the Amazon cloud and all the rest of it?
Well, it's all the cloud. It's all
sure is
stored up there someplace.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to be careful with all that. But I mean, there can be good that comes from it, but there can also be a lot of bad things too. You have to be careful. They can control things. They can change what you have. This is a problem I have. It's also Amazon related. It involves music.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I find an album that I want, and it's not on Amazon.com. However, it is on Amazon.co.uk, which
mm-hmm.
I also have an account at. That's the British Amazon. They say over there, when I try to buy it, that they're not allowed to sell to somebody in the United States. I have to not only have an Amazon an internet address coming from the UK, but I also have to have an address, a physical address in the UK.
Right.
Otherwise, they cannot sell me the MP3. Now, what difference does it make where I am if I'm downloading an MP3? It shouldn't make any difference. I can buy an album, can't I? Are imported albums illegal now? But they've created this new rule. This didn't exist a couple of years ago, where they control where you can download things to.
Right.
And I was going bananas looking for a place where I could download this MP3. There was no place I could do it, and I had to ask a friend to get it for me off torrents. So yeah, you know what? I got a pirated version of music because I wasn't allowed to buy it anywhere.
Right.
Who does that serve?
Right.
You know, I'm trying to buy the thing. And the same thing with streaming movies and. Who knows? It could happen to books one day. But it could say, in fact, it does happen to
I'm
books.
Sure it does.
That is a problem with Kindle that I do want to talk about is people in certain countries can't buy things if they don't have an account that's related to the country that their Kindle is attached to. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
You should be able to buy whatever you want to buy as long as you're willing to pay for it.
That's the whole concept of the phrase World Wide Web, right?
I would think so, yes. I would think so. Hey, you know, we should be a bit remiss in this, 35 minutes after the hour. We are still in fundraising mode. In fact, we're going to be in fundraising mode this week and next week, and then it all ends. I'm not sure what that means. It could be that's it, we give up. But hopefully it doesn't mean that. But we are still taking your calls for support. And the reason why that's important is because this is an oasis. WUSB is a real oasis on the FM dial here on Long Island. We are the only station on Long Island that has this kind of thing, that has both the strength of a college community and the surrounding community in one voice. And, you know, I think I can say that without fear of dispute. I mean, look around. I'll be specific. You know, Southampton used to have a community station, a college
mm-hmm.
community station,
mm-hmm.
And now that's run by I think Long Island University, which used to be part of Southampton, but now is only
right.
CW Post. For some reason, they still have that radio station, even though Stony Brook, this campus that we're on right now, took over Southampton. They didn't take over the radio station, which I thought was a really boneheaded move. But so what happened was the station is now just basically NPR and I think Jazz, but it's not a student slash community station at all.
That's because there aren't enough NPR stations, I don't think. What do you think?
Well, we have about, what, 16 or 17 of them we can get right here? Yeah, you're right. We need to leave in 20 at least. there are other stations that are college stations on the island, as well as Hofstra. There's, I think, Nassau Community. I think they have a station, but it's not. It's only college. It's not community as well.
Exactly.
The
right.
strength of WUSB is the combination. And, you know, when I first started here, I was a student. But we also had people that had been around since before we went FM. That sounds kind of weird, but we had people who were involved in the station in the Carrier Current days, and they're the ones responsible for making the place into the station that became FM.
Right.
And they remained part of the station. In fact, some of them remain to this day part of the station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the magic, that you have this this expertise of the ages that just continues, that people would want to stay affiliated in the first place, tells you something about the magic of it,
right.
But it also it adds to the strength of what it is that we build. And at the same time, having fresh people coming in year after year in the form of students, that makes it all relevant. So
we
have new sounds, we have new voices, we have that energy. There's two ways stations can go, and we've seen it both ways. We've seen stations that basically just are only like a after school club or something, a high school or a college activity that it's not taken very seriously, where people aren't trying to get better. They're basically playing their favorite songs and then going home and not really, and after a couple of years they're gone. They don't even care. You can hear that in many, many places. Then you can also hear community stations where the people just get older and older year after year, and they get more and more detached from everything around them. They're playing the same old music and talking about the same old things, except it gets more and more health-related as they get older. And, you know, it's in either case, the listenership evaporates because of that factionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So here at USB, we have that magic because we have both. We have both that kind of play off each other, that build on each other, learn from each other. Of course, we also have the listenership, which ties into all of it. And that's the magic. And that's something that is so fleeting. That's something that I've seen disappear so many times. And somehow it survives here at USB. And that somehow basically is two ways. We get funding from the student government here, from the university. Students here pay a certain amount. And then the fundraisers, which we're currently involved in right now, that's where the community steps in. And the community can be anywhere. I mean, it can be on campus, but it's usually off campus. And it can be anywhere, either in the FM listening range or anywhere in the planet. Because
anywhere on the Internet.
Yeah, we reach all throughout the world.
Unlike Amazon.
They reach all throughout the world, too.
Yeah, but not you can't buy everything.
No,
anyway.
You can't. But you can pledge to us. We won't refuse your pledge because you're in Botswana or something.
That's correct.
I don't know why I keep picking on Botswana.
Yeah, this is I have personally never quite heard a station like this. I was a listener for very many years, since the end of the summer of 1977. And
wait, end of the summer of 19... That's when I got involved, is the fall of 1977.
The end of the summer.
Well, we went on the air.
August of 77.
The summer of 77. We went on the air June 27th, 1977.
Right. August 77 is when I began listening to the station. And
did you hear anybody do a newscast that, like, couldn't pronounce words and talk too fast? That was me. Yeah, that's how I started.
But an amazing, amazing, amazing radio station, a unique place. Diversity doesn't even, you know, that's another thing. It's not just the community and the students coming together. It's also a million different opinions. There's no angle this station takes.
Mm-hmm.
The talk shows, everything is, we have everything from Loyal and Liberty with Bam to Mort Show to Zabby to Jim Lynch.
If you don't know who any of these people are, you need to listen more.
You need to cut out of work during the day.
Or you can listen to the archives because it's online.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
WUSB.FM.
And all the music shows, amazingly diverse stuff all the way around. But, you know, and Emmanuel's show, just amazing all these years in whatever format it has taken. And
all of our shows are online. You can listen back to 2003 on 2600.com/OTW.
Mm-hmm. But
or off the wall. I'm sorry. We don't say OTW. We say off the wall. Yes.
This is just a rare, rare place. And if, you know, you guys appreciate this as much as we appreciate it. You know, we come in every week. We love doing what we do here.
And we haven't given the phone number out once. 631-632-6901. I'm so sorry.
631-632-6901. Give us a call. Support WUSB, your community station, your college station, your independent station.
Pledge any amount. Finn will go tearing into the other room to answer the phone. You will, right?
For any amount of money, I will.
And he will tell you something that we will give you as a special thank you for that amount. If you pledge $10, if you pledge $25, if you pledge $2,500, for each of those levels, we will give you something. We might give you something more if you pledge $2,500. I'm pretty sure we will.
I'm sure we can arrange that. I'll come to your house and drop off a gift.
But you better believe every amount counts. Every bit counts.
Yes, it does. And that's not a threat, by the way. 631-632-6901. Give us a call here at WUSB Stony Brook. If you're listening on the net, if you're listening around the world, if you're listening right here in Stony Brook, Setauket, the Three Villages, anywhere on the South Shore, Oakdale, any place, Patchogue, you know, we have events all the time in Patchogue, and we know we have a lot of friends down there. If you haven't called yet this year, give us this drive. Give us a call, 631-632-6901.
If you're listening, you're listening for a reason. You're listening because you're getting something out of it, whether it's pointing and laughing at us or basically writing down words like Patchogue or just
serendipitous.
Yeah, nice things like that, or learning what belay means. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things that you can pick up. And that's only 1 hour. This station's on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We didn't used to be. When we started out, you know, we only had a lot less people on the air. We were on until, I think, 2:30 a.m. Some people did three shows a week. And now we have a mix of all kinds of people doing all kinds of different genres and styles of music. But there's always room for more. There really is. Whether it's students just coming in for the first time, whether it's people in the community, that's our doors are open. If you want to become part of this place, you can become part of this place just by contacting us, by coming down to the station. We will teach you radio. We will teach you how to do things on the air, and hopefully you can bring something to the table as well. Maybe you know how to fix things. maybe you know how to make things go that have stopped going around here, or maybe you have a particular expertise in some form of music, or you're an expert in some kind of conversation that would be interesting on the radio. We're open to all kinds of different things.
631-632-6901.
And how many places extend that to listeners? Right now, even something tiny, like if you were to call 631-632-6901, you would see the change in the conversation, because all of a sudden Finn would have to run away and answer the phone, and that affects what goes over the air. Might not sound like much, but you can't do that on a commercial station. You can't do that on an NPR station. You can't do that on a religious station. There's a barrier between you and what's on the air. And here, you're very much connected to that. Whether it's pledging, whether it's communicating, whether it's participating yourself, there are just so many ways that you can be a part of the process. And that's the magic. That's the magic of radio. You never know who's out there. You never know. I talk to people all the time who hear things, and I don't know they're listening. You never know.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that's something that's different with the net. In the net, you can tell many people are listening. Sometimes you can even see where they're coming from. With actual radio, though, it's more magical. People could be driving in their cars, or they have something on in the kitchen, or someplace else, and you don't find out about it. Sometimes you never find out about it.
Right. So if you appreciate Emmanuel's show, if you appreciate anything that happens here on WUSB, if you appreciate Off the Wall, give us a call, 631-632-6901. I'll hook you up with something, I promise. 631-632-6901. What's our country code, Emmanuel?
Country code is 1.
Of course.
It's also Canada's country code, too.
Oh.
So we don't actually have our own country code, but we did take the best one and share it with Canada.
That's right.
So
631-632-6901.
You hear that they launched a Soyuz spacecraft today, and it's kind of hard to believe, but apparently there's a hippopotamus on it.
What?
I'm finding out about this right now. A Soyuz rocket launched an American astronaut. And no, that's not the hippo. That would be nasty. Why would you say something like that about a person? Two Russian cosmonauts and 32 small fish into orbit today, kicking off a five-month mission to the International Space Station for the human and aquatic explorers. Wait a minute.
So there's going to be water? There's
well, the headline says hippo. You see hippo.
I do.
But it doesn't say that in the story. I'm trying to find that part of the story. Maybe they just added that as a joke.
So it's an aquatic experiment going on up there?
Apparently, yeah. This,
how do they get all the water up there?
That's a good question, too.
What is water?
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
7 pounds a
I'm
gallon?
Sorry, folks. I'm sorry. This is what happens when you don't read stories first. This guy on board, Novitsky is his name. I think it's going to be something special. I will get unforgettable memories, this guy said in a NASA briefing before the mission. Novitsky picked a small toy hippo, a gift from his teenage daughter, Yana, to use an indicator of when the Soyuz reached the weightless environment of space. So, to repeat, there is no real hippo on board the Soyuz spacecraft on its way to the space station. Not yet, anyway, but one day there will be a hippo in space.
What a letdown. I have to tell you. I wanted to see the helmet on the hippo.
Yeah. Hippos are actually very nice animals.
I'm sure this hippo wouldn't be as nice once he was in space.
I saw a documentary about someone who had a pet hippo. And they're the nicest animals that you would ever meet. Okay. My Finn has run away because I believe the phone is ringing. And thank you very much for that person calling in. You're the reason we're doing this. You really are. Okay. You know, there's an incident on Good Morning America. Yeah, you might have heard about this. Tom Hanks dropped the F-bomb. and the Parents Television Council is up in arms. Oh, yes. Now, apparently they were broadcasting live. I always thought things were on delay because they were so paranoid about this. I'm kind of relieved that they're not. I think things should be live. We're live. We're not on delay. And you know what? Mistakes happen. Sometimes people do the wrong thing, and you live with it. It's just unbelievable how these people are freaking out. But what I find to be refreshing is seeing all the responses to it from various people and various comments and things like that. And most people are to the Parents Television Council, get a life, you know. This is, stuff happens, to paraphrase a particular phrase that has been bouncing around. Tom Hanks appeared on Friday morning segment of Good Morning America to discuss his newest film, Cloud Atlas. When reenacting one of the voices from the movie, the award-winning actor slipped the F-word, which was aired for all of America to hear. Actually, I think only the Eastern Seaboard, right? Because they don't air it live in the West Coast, do they? The Parents Television Council is unnerved by the incident and has since released a statement which says, once again, a morning news show has allowed the harshest profanity to be broadcast into every living room and breakfast table in the country. This is just another in a long, sad string of similar instances where all of the major network morning shows have permitted this inappropriate and offensive content. These cannot and must not be dismissed as mistakes, and it's time for the networks to step up, take responsibility for what they broadcast, and ensure that this never happens again. Okay, well, you know what? It's not mass murder here. It's not something horrible. It's a mistake. It's a word. It's a word that, you know, people have heard. And they will probably hear in the course of any day. And, yeah, you know, it's something that's not appropriate for morning television. I agree, but sometimes mistakes happen. And that's part of life, is learning that and how you recover from it. I don't think anybody was wounded by this. Meanwhile, you know, the Parents Television Council would have no problem if extreme acts of violence were shown as part of a newscast on the same program. That'd be dead bodies? Yeah, no problem. You know, blood and gore? Well, that's part of life. But a single word, or perhaps a female nipple? Oh, yeah, you can't show that because that'll traumatize people. It doesn't. It does not traumatize anybody. And another thing, why are kids watching television on a Friday morning when they should be in school? Or on their way to school, anyway? That's more inappropriate, I think. Anyway, you know, I believe most people get this now. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any real ramifications from this. Maybe we're growing up just a little bit. Would be nice to believe that anyway. George McGovern died the other day, age of 90. You heard about that, right, Finn?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Did you know in the 1972 election, when he was running against Richard Nixon,
that he
was lambasted as far as the re-election? But we had that whole Electoral College thing again. I mean, he lost by a large amount. But if you looked at the Electoral College, I think he only got 12 electoral votes. So the percentage was insane if you looked at the Electoral College. And that's, of course, what counts.
Right.
And if you looked at the map, every single state except for Massachusetts was red. Every single state. And, boy, is that scary to look at.
It is scary to look at. And that's, you know, I mean, personally, you know, I the Electoral College is certainly... I think it's something that should be looked at, shall we say, as far as being an outdated mode of doing things.
We say this every time, and nothing ever happens.
I know.
Nothing ever happens. But I do think if this particular election, if either candidate loses because of the Electoral College and not by the popular vote, I think the objections will be a bit louder.
I hope so.
I still don't think anything's going to happen, though.
We also want to, Emmanuel, we want to thank Katie from Islip Terrace for giving us a call.
Katie, thank you.
She loved the story about the hippos. And
there were no hippos, though.
I know. Well, there was a tiny hippo.
There was a tiny hippo, but, you know.
Tiny fuzzy hippo.
And, until there's a real hippo going up there. What do they call them? Hippo puppies? Or? You know what? Go to Wikipedia. I'm going to look this up.
I'm telling you, this is why we have computers.
Why is the screen not waking up?
You got to give it a little click there.
Oh,
there you go.
Got to bang it on the table?
Got to bang it on the table, like everything else here.
But now the whole screen is gone.
Give us a call, 631-632-6901.
How does banging the mouse on the table make the screen go away?
Help us get some better mice for our hippos.
I hate Macs. I mean, what, I don't understand.
631-632-6901.
What's that arrow? I'm going to click on that. Oh, that's it. Okay. So apparently I was on a different... I must have catapulted myself over. I want to know what baby hippopotamuses are called. We're going to find that out.
They're called Delicious, my friend.
No, I don't think that's true.
Oh.
So there is no hippo going, it's a hard word to spell, going up on the space station yet, but again, I think there will be. Hippopotamus, ancient Greek for the river horse, large mostly, this is kind of hard to, I think I might have to go to Google again. Well, because it's quicker, you can just type baby hippo and maybe you'll get a word then.
Anyone who'd like to make a pledge right now who knows what baby hippos are called can give us a call, make a pledge, and we'll take your information about the baby hippos, 631-632-6901.
Baby hippos are born underwater to weight between 25 and 45 kilograms. Okay, but you know what? That's not answering. Yeah, what are baby hippopotamuses called? Somebody did ask that question. It's called a calf. Okay, we found out the answer. A baby hippo is called a calf. Now, where else will you find out something like that? Probably no place else. All right, you know what? We're pretty much out of time. It's 5 minutes to Finn. Got anything special planned tonight, Finn? Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to some members of Toronto-based proto-punk band The Scenics, who were like the equivalent of like the Talking Heads back in 77 in Toronto. Very interesting stuff, and they're back on the road with a really great album, which is why I asked to interview them.
Wait, they're like the Talking Heads in 1977? Album Talking Heads 77?
Around the same time, a bunch of cities, London, New York, Toronto included, had their own kind of like CB-style scene,
mm-hmm.
punk scene, proto-punk scene, whatever you want to call it. And certainly the Scenics were the band to check out in Toronto.
Because they're part of the scene, the Scenics guy. That's clever.
Right. Hence, that's where we get the phrase "the scene" from the band The Scenics.
But are they still current, or are they a bunch of washed-up has-beens? I'm not afraid to ask the tough questions.
The new record is absolutely outstanding. Otherwise, I wouldn't be interviewing.
Okay, you find some really good people to interview, and I should say to people listening to this show, stay tuned to Finn because he plays music, but he also talks. I mean, what are some of the people you've talked to in the last couple
Mike Watt,
of years?
Henry Giroux, Randy Newman, whole variety of people.
Randy Newman, he has the same name as the famous musician.
Well, that would be the famous musician.
You actually spoke to the famous musician.
That is correct. We actually at the time discussed Hurricane Katrina, which had just recently happened, and there were upcoming elections at the time, and the first, which would become the first Obama term shortly thereafter, and we had a fascinating discussion. He was scheduled to be on the show for 10 minutes, and he was on for 45.
And that tells you something about Finn's show. That
tells us something about WUSB, 631-632-6901.
Yes, please join the people who have called in so far. Pledge support to this place. Keep it going, because, as we said, USB is a rare jewel in the bracelet of radio. Yeah, something like that.
That's it.
And this is the one of the last 2 weeks of fundraising, and we desperately need your funds to keep going. We have all kinds of things planned for the future, and we need to have support to move forward.
Yep. That's Give important. Us a call, please. 631-632-6901.
We are out of time. Thanks again for calling in. OTW@2600.com. That's our email address. And again, stay tuned for Finn. We'll be back again next week. Good night.
आजा जिंदे शामी आने के तले आजा जरी वाले नीले आजमाने के तले
जय हो जय हो
आजा आजा जिंदे शामी आने के तले आजा जरी वाले नीले आजमाने के तले कोयलों पे रात बिताई है अखियों की नींद मैंने फूकों से उड़ा दी गिन गिन तारे मैंने उंगली जलाई है
ए आजा आजा जिंदे शामी आने के तले आजा सारी बारे नीले आसमान के तले
जय हो
शुभेन
हो जय हो
तुम्हें जय
हो
हमें जय
हो जिंदे शामी आने के तले आजा।